So we discussed yesterday how the first topic dealt with was the oil for the menorah. And now Hashem says to Moshe, I command you to consecrate the Kohanim with the special clothing that they're going to wear, right? And we're told that Moshe, you know, they probably felt bad that he wasn't a Kohen Gadol in some way, but he was thrilled that it was Aaron. Aaron didn't feel that he really merited it, but Hashem said, no, Aaron merits it because everything he does is with the ultimate of purity and for the sake of God. A young prince grew up and unfortunately became conceited and decided, I need to have my own independent area. And so he decided he was going to dig under his father's palace, causing it to collapse. He got himself, it says, a spade and shovel, and when unobserved, he would do his digging. The prince's tutor realized what was going on. And he knew that there was no way if he told the prince, like, you know, really, like, wake up, forget it, it wouldn't help. So what he said to him was, look, I watched you yesterday. You're a lousy digger. I have better skills. I'm going to teach you how to do it, and we'll do it together. All of a sudden, as they started to get to it, the king's soldiers caught them and brought them to the king. And he said to the tutor, I'm only bringing you here to tell you, don't be afraid. I know that you were there helping my son, but I know you to be the most honorable person I know. You were planning to detain my son so that I might discover what he was doing, right? And not allow his sinister plan to come to fulfillment. The same way, you wanted to help me preserve the palace and also make sure that my son would not complete a traitorous act, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I am giving you now another office. You are now going to be the general highest officer who has domain in running the palace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood what Aaron did, that he was trying at the time of the eagle to mitigate any problem that the Jewish people might create. And he took actions that would cause them to delay, try to get them to be evasive, etc. And nonetheless, like, the golden calf came to fruition, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, I swear to you, Aaron, you are my Kohen Gadol. You're in charge of my palace, the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, because I know what you did was only for my sake. Aaron devoted himself, right, to the nth degree, to Torah and mitzvot, especially learning and teaching others. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Aaron was going to be inaugurated into the kahuna in wearing special clothing, similar to those, it says, that ministering angels in heaven seem to have. Bnei Yisrael were given commands to donate the materials needed for this clothing, and the task of weaving the clothes needed were going to be done by Kol Chacham Lev, by any man or woman who maintained a wise heart full of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's fear. In other words, a Yirei Shemayim. Because for these garments to meet their goal, they had to be made lishma. And only people who could dedicate their work for the sake of the Almighty were going to be permitted to do this. We're going to read. About Achashverosh, who made a festival of 180 days. Right? It says he wanted to show his greatness and might, and we know he took out the cups, the serving vessels for the Beis HaMikdash. And every day he would boast by showing people different valuable treasures he maintained. The height of audacity was when he took out the big day kahuna. Right, it says, I think that he tried to put them on, whether he may have succeeded. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar, when he captured and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, brought them to Bavel, and he had preserved them in the greatest way possible. This is my greatest treasure. Look what I took from the Jews. And we know the Jews were at that banquet. And we're not told that there was any protest. And that, we're told, was why the entire episode of Purim occurred. We're told every Kohen, whoever served in the Beis HaMikdash, had four basic garments that they wore. They had the katzones, a shirt. They had mifnasayim, some sort of breeches, pants. Avnet, a special belt. And a migba'as, the turban. And these were all made out of white linen. The Kohen Gadol had four more garments. The special ones, right, that we read about in the beginning of our parsha. He had a me'il, which was, somebody said, it's like a lady's apron that was open in the front. He had an ephod. The ephod was something woven behind the choshen, the breastplate. Inside the ephod, we're told, they put the Urim, the Tumim. And he had on his head, I think below his tefillin, a tzitz, a head plate that said Kodesh Lashem. Right? His hat was different than that of the ordinary Kohanim, and it was called Mitznefes. It was round, and as opposed to the hats worn by the other Kohanim, which rose to a top. We're told that every one of the garments were designed to bring atonement for a particular sin that the Jewish people might commit or did commit. The kesones, excuse me, what was for the sin of murder when there were no witnesses. Hashem felt that if murder existed amongst the Jewish people, somehow the nation had failed in its entirety. And the kesones was the item, right, which atoned for this. It says, the reason that this long type of skirt was chosen for this purpose was that it resembled Yosef's coat of many colors, right, that his brothers dipped into blood, right? And they try to explain to Yaakov, look what we found, he's dead. It says the kesones also was an antidote for people who inadvertently wore shatnez, wool and linen. The mechnasayim, I guess they were shorts, maybe like exercise shorts, maybe a little bit longer, was the atonement for any sin of immorality. The head covering, the hat, both worn by the normal Kohen and by the Kohen Gadol, were atonements for any arrogance. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, let the hat worn by on a Kohen's head atone for anyone who feels they've got to hold their head high. The ovnate, the belt, was worn, it says it came up over the heart, and therefore was an atonement for improper thoughts of the heart. It was 32 amos long, right? Which is like 64 feet, I think. And right, and it, that is lathe 32 hearts. The Choshen, which is where the stones lit up, answer given by the Urim Tumim, was to atone for any perverted justice. It was worn on the Kohen Gadol's heart. It says it's to teach that if a false judgment emanates from improper thoughts, they originate somehow in the heart. It says the ephod, this type of apron, was an atonement for idol worship. We see oftentimes in Tanakh that the idol worshippers used to wear something like this when they did their pagan worship. And the ephod was for any errors made in doing what might be considered some sort of idol worship. The Me'il atoned for Lashon Hara in public. And it says if Lashon Hara was spoken in secret, we had the ketores, the incense that was burned. We know that the tzitz, this golden plaque held on the forehead of the Kohen, had the words Kadosh Lashem, holy to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And it says this was to atone for chutzpah, which they quote from Yirmiyahu, chutzpah is what's on the forehead of an isha zona, a woman of ill repute. Another one says it's for blasphemy. The Alshich asks, we have 8 garments. Why were these 8 sins chosen to be offset? It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw that these would be the major problems during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And we're told that if we go through the Nevi'im, we'll see, they admonished the people for committing these specific transgressions. It says, once upon a time, a non-Jew went past the Beis HaMikdash. No, not the Beis HaMikdash. He went past a shul or a Beis Medrash. And he heard a Rebbe teaching children. And he mentioned what the garments worn were, the 8 special garments. And the goy listened, and he stopped. And he said, who is it that will be zoiche? Who is it that's going to wear these clothes? And he said, wow, look how they respect the high priest. And somehow, it says, he decided he's going to convert, because he's going to run for that office. He went to Shammai, and he said to Shammai, can I please convert so that I can get the office of the Kohen Gadol? Shammai, we're told, was a man of little tolerance at times. And he drove the man away with a yardstick, which was in his hand. Because Shammai felt this was an embarrassment of the Torah, right? He thought that this request was an affront to the Torah. The would-be convert wasn't dismayed, and he went to the Beis Medrash of Hillel. Hillel said, that's a great idea. However, he said, you can't get a high position in Judaism until you learn. You've got to learn what Judaism's about, and you've got to learn about what the halachas of a priest and a high priest are. The non-Kohen, who it seems was quite astute, started learning, and he read the pasuk, right? The Zohar HaKorei Yamus. If a non-Kohen approaches the priestly service, he's going to die. And he asked to whoever he was learning with, who does this apply to? And he was told, to anyone who was born and wasn't a descendant of Aaron, they can't be a Kohen. He said to him, not even the greatest of our kings, King David, David Melech Yisroel, could be a Kohen. The Ger stopped, and he understood the significance. He said, wow, if David HaMelech or any Jew, born a Jew, right, but not a Kohen, can't do the Avoda, certainly someone who's a Ger, right, couldn't, right, become a Kohen Gadol. He went to Shammai and he said, why did you chase me away? Why didn't you tell me that I would never become a Kohen Gadol? Because only the children of Aaron do that. Then he went to Hillel and he said, my master Hillel, may you become the recipient of every heavenly blessing. Your humility brought me under the Kanfei Hashvina. You allowed me to join the Jewish people. It says later on, the Ger had two sons, whom he named Hillel and Gamliel, the name of Hillel's grandson. And his family became known as Gerei Hillel. They became known as the Gerim, right? The true converts brought about by Hillel. They were Hillel's Gerim. We're told that each of the various tasks in the Beis HaMikdash was under the auspices of another family, a base of. Excuse me. Right? We're told that the family of Garmo had expertise and baked the lechem upon him. And the family of Aftinas had the responsibility to prepare Ketores. It says the family of Pinchas was in charge of administering, procuring, and I guess distributing the Big Day Kahuna, and they used to dress the Kohanim and help them undress at the end of the day and supervise the storage of these wonderful begadim in special booths. The ephod was an apron, right, which was a centerpiece, we're told, of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, and it held the choshen. And it was made, Hashem said, before other garments. It was a half an apron. The centerpiece was in the back. In other words, it was like an apron worn by someone with the protective part in the back. It was tied in front with a belt. Its back was supported with two shoulder straps that went over the Kohen's shoulders to the front. It had 28 fold thread, including gold. And at the end of the two shoulder straps, there were two stones, shohem, onyx stones, in which there were golden settings. On six of them were names of the tribes, including Levi. Yosef was said Yosef alone, not separately the Ephraim and Manasseh. And according to some people, the way Yosef was written is the way we have it in the Shir Shel Yom, Yehosef, Yud Hevav, right? Samach, Samach Sofit. That would mean that there would be 25 letters in each stone. And it said, joining the shoulder staffs were golden rings, which went through the rings of the Choshen, and so you had the Choshen, the breastplate, on it, and we're told in the Pasuk they were not to be separated in any shape, manner, or form. Okay. We'll go this far today, and we'll pick up tomorrow with some other aspects on the Parsha. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot.